ईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्व प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शांति शांति शांति। ऑफरिंग ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ ऑल ऑफ अस, humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. We welcome you to today's special Dashara Satsang. Today, among the 9 days, is the day we worship Mother Goddess as Lakshmi, the bestower of wealth. And it is indeed our fortune that on a day when people seek wealth, people seek prosperity, we have gathered in a satsang like this, gathering what, seeking what can be classified as true wealth. And I am here to perform the pleasant duty of introducing the speaker for the day. Most of you would be acquainted with him. He is not a new person to our satsang. Today speaking to us will be Brother Hari Shankar Bhatt from the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Brother Hari Shankar is an engineer from IIT Madras. He did B.Tech in Naval Engineering and Ocean Engineering. So he should be building ships, but he's here talking to us about Swami. In the year 2002, he graduated with an MBA from a university. And ever since, he's been a part of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. He's a senior manager in the medical care division. Speaking to Hari Shankar for 15-20 minutes would enrich my knowledge by so much. You know, he's a very, very well-read person. I remember once listening to an interview about IIT graduates, and this was on an American TV network. And they said, the greatest export of India to the West are the IIT graduates. And very often our Venkatraman sir, Professor Venkatraman, used to tell us, the people who join the IIT campuses, the day they join the campus, they export their souls to America. 5 years later, the body joins. It's almost, that is the frequency of IIT graduates leaving our country. But having graduated from such a prestigious institution, he has chosen that the best thing that could happen to a graduate, best thing that you can achieve with the education that you've gathered, is to offer it at Swami's lotus feet. And I think he really deserves our adoration for that. He's a very well-read person, as I said, and he has the ability to speak on very esoteric topics. But today he's going to talk to a topic which I think all of us can relate to, a theme which probably is the reason why we all of us are here. He's going to talk about Swami as Prema Pradayini, the bestower of pure love. As I said, it's a topic which is definitely close to all our hearts, but nevertheless, there is no end to this topic, and how many ever people talk, I think you can sit and relish and enjoy it, and I'm sure listening to it from Brother Hari Shankar is going to be no less a delight. So, with these few words, I invite Brother Hari Shankar to come and address all of you. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I place my humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And let me thank Premanush for a very generous introduction. I am surely buoyed up by the things that he said. And as he did mention, I think the topic that we take up today is in the context of what is the most precious wealth that we can all possess. Of all the things that we can have in this world, that we can call our own, what is it that what is the most precious thing? I remember a conversation I had on a train journey. So I really love taking these train journeys, these opportunities to interact with complete strangers. And I have no background about them, they have no background about me. We are starting on a clean slate. And as they discover that I stay in the ashram of Sathya Sai Baba, they're so inquisitive to know. So the first question they ask is, what was it like to be around him? You have been close to him, you have been a student. What was it like to be around him? And I always bear in mind that perhaps all they know is what they've heard from others, perhaps from the media, perhaps from newspapers. It's just hearsay. And for them it is an opportunity to really learn, perhaps for the first time in their life, what was it like to be near him, to experience him up close. I also welcome this conversation for another reason. It's for me a journey of rediscovery. After having spent a decade and a half here in Prashantilayam, in his physical presence, we tend to get jaded. We tend to take many things for granted. I remember one of my friends, he was in the United States. He called me one day in the evening and he asked me, so what happened today? I said, it was a normal day. We had darshan, we had bhajan, and I came back home. And he said, what are you saying? And he started actually laughing. I couldn't understand. He said, Hari, you just said, we just went for darshan. But do you know, for us being at this distance from Prashantilayam, what that darshan means to us, that one glimpse of Bhagwan? And I know you sit so close there to Swami, and you can say, it's just darshan. But for us, it is something very, very, very precious. So I take these opportunities to really discover for myself, again, totally fresh. And imagine, for so many of you, I'm pretty sure you've come to Prashantilayam many times before. But just imagine that you're going back to that day when you first set your eyes on that beautiful form of Bhagwan, on that saffron-clad figure, mysteriously waving his hands in the air, sometimes writing something in the air, and you're totally wondering, who is this being? What is he about? What is this Sathya Sai Baba? And as I scan my memories, I try to go back to those days, my first days as a student in Prashantilayam. And as I begin to scan those memories, so many images pop up, so many come to my mind. And many of them are images of people who are coming out of the interview room after an audience with Swami. And each one's reaction is so very, very different. There are some who come out with a very, very serene, peaceful expression. Perhaps Bhagwan had addressed whatever concerns, whatever worries they had. So all that has totally left them. They have placed it at Swami's feet. So they come out with that peaceful, serene expression. Yet others, so they come out, I've seen them literally stumbling out of the interview room. And it is as if they're not even aware of the world around them. They just walk with a steady stare. But for the most part, the people who come out, I have seen, are so moved to emotion. They're tears are streaming down their eyes. I have seen grown men, sobbing like a little child. I have seen my own father. Like, he was the pujari to Bhagwan, and in his first few days, I remember one evening I was watching, there was a program, it was a music program on Purandara Dasa. So the songs of Purandara Dasa, and he was a Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Lord Krishna. The songs are in praise of Lord Krishna, and my father is sitting next to Swami, and he is looking at Swami's face and unabashedly crying. I cannot count any number of occasions where I watched my father cry, but this one, and I was watching with satisfaction, enormous satisfaction. That was the effect that Swami had on people. I remember there was this, about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, There was this academic committee that had visited Prashanthi Nilayam. Very eminent academicians, and they had come for an accreditation of our university. And all of them, for the first time they were coming to Prashanthi Nilayam, very curious about what this place is all about. And after their accreditation was complete, Swami called them for an audience with him in the interview room. And that time it was my privilege to be like an escort to this particular group. So I was supposed to take them from their place of residence to the mandir, conduct them around the ashram. Those are my duties. So I was so looking forward to interacting with them because it is their first interaction with Swami. What was it like for them? So I remember the senior most member, a very eminent academician, a professor in physics, and she emerges from the interview room and I get to speak to her maybe an hour later, and still words would not come out of her mouth. She was at a loss for words. She just couldn't speak. Such was the effect. And when I asked her to share, "Madam, what was it that happened inside the interview room?" All she could say was, "He is like my father. He is like my father." That's all she kept saying. I begged her for more. "Can you tell me something more?" And she said, "You know, he created this pair of gold earrings and then he himself fixed it to my ears. It was such a loving gesture." And she was so moved to emotion by that. This is the expression. So when I scan these images, I am trying to recreate for myself. I am really trying to recreate for myself. What was Swami like? What were my first impressions? And I need not go very far. I recall my very first trip to Prashanthi Nilayam as a young adult. It was my grandmother and who had, you know, she beseeched me. She said, "Come to Prashanthi Nilayam, have darshan of Swami." And as Premanush was mentioning, see, the context was this. I had just got into the Indian Institute of Technology, and it is a very tough entrance examination, the 2 years of intense coaching, and then you write this entrance and you get through. My grandmother, she said to me, she said, "It was through Bhagwan's grace that you were able to get through to this university." So I thought to myself, how can it be Bhagwan's grace? It is I who have the brains, it is I who have the intellect, it was my hard work. Where does Swami come into all this? She said, no, you don't understand, you are young. You just come to Prashanthi Nilayam, have darshan of Swami. It was because my mother, grandmother, they were devotees and we were still, you know, just getting introduced to Bhagwan. So, you know, you humor your grandmother, right? So I said, okay, just to make her feel happy, let me also come and see what this is all about. And I came to Prashanthi Nilayam at a time, it was a very fortunate, propitious time, because every day Swami would give a discourse. This was way back in July 1996. I remember the date, July 4th, that I landed in Prashanthi Nilayam. Every day Swami would give a discourse. It would be preceded by a speech by a student, two speeches. They would be Swami's discourse and there would be bhajan for 15 minutes. And I had a ringside view of all the proceedings of the evening. And what I saw, it really astounded me. There's something very remarkable, very magical about the whole setting. I can very, very vividly see that in my eyes. But there was this one incident that happened at that time, which made me decide that if there is anything I want in this world, that is Swami. That day, that particular day, Swami was giving a discourse and he was relating a particular incident, an incident in a student's life. And he was saying that this particular student, his mother, she had developed an illness, a fatal illness. So they came to Prashanthi Nilayam, the parents, they came to Swami and they said, "Swami, the doctors have given her just a month more." So Swami said, "Yes, I know, I will take care." But they knew that being devotees of Swami, it was completely Swami's will whether to cure her or to take her. That was up to Swami. Then that lady, she just submitted one prayer to Bhagwan. She said, "Swami, I have no other desire but to merge in you. But yet there is this one small little worry that is troubling me. What will happen to my children after I go? Who will take care of them? So Swami said, don't worry. I will become a mother to these children. You don't have to worry about that. And with that assurance, the parents, they left Prashanti Nilayam. And as it happened, very sadly, that lady did pass away. And the children, Swami got the children admitted here to the primary school. So one day, the young boy, he started missing his mother. And he started crying very, very profusely. So the teachers over here, they tried to pacify him. Nothing seemed to be working. So when they couldn't do anything themselves, they came to Swami. They said, Swami, you have to help us. The warden auntie, as she's called, she came to Swami and prayed to him, saying that this boy, I cannot make him stop crying. Swami said, let me speak to him, and called him into the interview room. Swami is relating all this. So Swami said that I spoke to him and I told him, you need not miss your mother. Why? Because I will give you the love of 1,000 mothers. This was the assurance that Swami gave. I will give you the love of 1,000 mothers. And Swami said, ever since I said this to that boy, he stopped crying, and you'll see him always laughing, always laughing. And even as he said this, this was in the Kulwant Hall, Swami beckoned to that boy. He called the boy. He was a small 12-year-old lad. And he rushed to Swami. He rushed to Swami and hugged him. You know, he would come only up to maybe Swami's navel. He hugged Swami like that, robes and all. And I could see that Swami, you know, so emotional, Swami stroking his head. It was such a beautiful moment, and as I looked around Kulwant Hall, there was not a person who did not have a tear in his eye. It was such a moving scene. At that moment I decided that this is what I want in my life. I want to have this love. I want to experience that. Because I could see that it was like nothing on earth. There could be no joy greater than being near this avatar, basking in that love of his. And whomever I asked, sisters and brothers, this is not just my experience. I have spoken to so many elders, the trustees of the Satya Sai Central Trust, who had the fortune of speaking to Bhagwan over many occasions. I have spoken to Brother Satyajit. Brother Satyajit, he had the fortune of spending 13 years in Swami's residence, serving him physically. So almost day and night, he was with Swami. And when I asked him, see, Satyajit has seen, believe me, if he speaks to you, he can tell you of numerous miraculous incidences that he has seen, he has witnessed. Some of them will shake you. But when I ask him, you know, what is it that you remember? What is it you remember from that time? He says, I just remember the love. Just the love. Only that. Indeed, Kasturi Garu, he is a wordsmith. He is so beautiful with words. And when he describes Swami, he says, I cannot find any better description than this. That Swami is love walking on 2 feet. What a beautiful expression. Swami is nothing but love walking on 2 feet. No matter whom I ask, many elders, they have seen Swami in so many different moods, in so many different attitudes, so many different places. And all they can remember is this. They say, the essence of Swami is love. And indeed, Swami himself has said the same thing in a discourse way back, 1960s. And Swami said, prema is my distinctive characteristic. Not the creation of material objects or of conferring good health and happiness. See, when we come here and we speak of Swami, we tend to speak of all those miraculous experiences. We say that this person came with this disease and then Swami cured them and this happened and that happened, the miracles. Because that's what we like to relate. But here is Swami himself saying it. Not the creation of material objects or of conferring good health and happiness by my sheer exercise of will. You may consider what you call miracles as the surest sign of divinity. No. Very clearly, Swami says, The manifestation of miracles is not the surest sign of divinity. Then what is? It is the prema that welcomes you all, that blesses all, that makes me rush to the presence of seekers, the suffering and the distressed wherever they are. That is the real sign. Sisters and brothers, that is the real sign, the hallmark, the significant characteristic of the Satya Sai avatar is nothing but love. You know, on numerous occasions when we talk about what are Swami's teachings, so we say the five human values, isn't it? We talk about the five human values. We say Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa. So these are the five human values, and Swami has always spoken about them as being the greatest wealth. But Swami then speaks about Prema, and he says that even among them, Prema is fundamental, love is fundamental. And he says, love in thoughts is truth, is Satya. Love in feelings is peace. Love in your action. You know, when you express love through your actions, that is your dharma, righteousness. And love in your understanding, in your compassion, that is ahimsa. So for Swami, love is the common denominator even to the five human values. He says they are fundamental to the five human values. Indeed, if you look at Swami's discourses, almost in every discourse, how did Swami address all of us? Did he say, Manushullara, you humans? He could have stood at that pedestal, no, I am God, and then you are mere humans. So Manushullara, he could have said, or with a little more love, he could have said, Bhaktullara, my devotees. But no, what did he say? He said, Prema Swarupallara, embodiments of divine love. You know, I would give anything to hear that phrase Prema Swarupallara in his sweet voice. I would give anything. You know, there are many times when people ask me, Swami has his physical presence, you know, do you miss him? Of course, there are many things that I miss, but one thing that I miss is that I will never be able to hear his voice. It had a special quality. Do you know, he could say, he would often use this expression, Dunna Pota. I don't know how many of you are aware, he would say Dunna Pota if he wanted to scold somebody. So Dunna Pota means a buffalo, he buffalo. So if he wanted to scold somebody, say, eh, Dunna Pota, he would say. And once in an interview, just 45 minutes, I heard Swami say this word Dunna Pota in three different intonations, three different modulations. And in one of them, he said with so much love, he said, Dunna Pota, you know. There was so much love in the way he said it. I miss that. I really miss that. That sweet voice in which he would speak, even if it was to scold. You know, my native tongue is Kannada, so, and most people over here, they speak Telugu. So if in people's presence, if he had to scold me, he would switch to Kannada immediately. So people around me wouldn't know. He's scolding me and they would say, oh, you're so lucky, Swami spoke to you. And my face would have shrunk, you know, several inches. Only I would know. And the only thing they would see is quickly I would bend, take Swami's Padnamaskar and I'd smile at Swami and that was the end. But this is how he would do, you know. But I would, there's one person, you know, who spoke about this. He used to come to Swami every month to take a check for, you know, he was in charge of the Vrindavan campus. So the monthly expenses, he would come to Swami to take the check. And every month after he took the check, he would come out of the hall, out of Swami's interview room, he would be crying. Right, not like the devotees whom I spoke about the interview. He would be crying because Swami would have grilled him for every small expense, scolded him for being irresponsible, and that whole thing would leave him shaken and he would cry and cry every month. But every month he would return. He would never say that, no, last time Swami banged me, I don't want to come back, he will scold me like anything. No, he would come back again running all the way from Vrindavan. It was so sweet that just being around him, even getting scolded by him, it was such a beautiful experience. So, The way he used to say, Prema Swarupallara, the embodiments of divine love. And if there is anything that speaks of his love, I think it is this, that when he addresses each one of us as Prema Swarupallara, embodiments of divine love. Think about it. So Swami is God and we are his devotees. If there is one barrier that he can erect, you know, saying that I am separate from you, it is this, I am God and you are mere humans. But then Swami goes on to say, he says, the only difference between you and me or you and I is that I know I am God, but you don't. But you are God and I too am God. The only difference is I know, but you don't. Which is why every opportunity that Swami would get, he would keep reminding us, there is no difference between you and me. You too are embodiments of divine love. Divyatma Swarupallara, this was another appellation that he used to use for all of us. Nothing less than the embodiments of the divine Atma itself, the giants that we are. You know, encased in this human body, all the human foibles, the vanities we have, the prejudices we have, our loves and hates. And yet Swami would, what would he call us? He would say, you are the embodiments of the divine Atma. Believe me, it is a sign of the highest love. When you remove that, even that one barrier that is there, and you say, you and I are one. You and I are one. And this is the message from the Vedas, the ancient scriptures of this land. It is a mantra you will hear the students chant very often in the mandir. And they will say, sa yascha yam purushe, yascha sa vaditya, sa ekaha, saya evamvita. In fact, in this mantra, as we progress next, what happens is the sage who repeats this mantra, he breaks into a song of ecstasy. He breaks into a song of ecstasy. So what does he say? So he says, here is a person. Here is a person. And up there is the sun. Imagine that. Here is a person, a puny little person. He could, his existence can be measured in less than a century. And you're looking at the sun, whose existence is for billions of years, far bigger, with much, much more energy than this puny little man, this human being. And this mantra declares, unequivocally it declares, that this person and that sun, they are one. Sa yaschayam purushe, this, look at this person here, yascha sava ditye, aditya, the sun, and these two are one. Sa ekaha, no difference, they are one. And here was Swami in everyday language just expressing this very same truth. And to experience this, you know, you have to, believe me, the only way is to keep listening to various experiences of Bhagwan. I tell you, you're very lucky that over these 9 days, they have arranged these lectures. You come and listen. You know, we are not going to talk to you about many Vedantic truths. It's not going to be so difficult to digest what we speak about. We're going to keep speaking about maybe experiences with Bhagwan, whatever we experienced, for the most part. But believe me, the way we have imbibed, for us, what happens is, when I look at something that is written in the Vedas, written in the scriptures, or when a divine master, some readings, I can immediately relate to it. I say, yes, I have seen Bhagwan do it. I have seen this in the life of Bhagwan. It becomes so easy, it just clicks like that. Even what people would call very abstruse books, abstruse truth, right? I am able to relate to that. Why? Because I can relate it to something that Bhagwan has done or said. I, you know, for me this is a very powerful incident. So there was this time, in 2001, January 26th, 2001, there was this very powerful earthquake that had hit Gujarat. There was a district, a village called Bhuj, that was completely devastated, leveled by this earthquake. So people, you know, they had been living there for years, or their ancestors have been living there for centuries, and their houses were all leveled, all reduced to rubble in a matter of seconds. People lost lives, relatives, property. Everything was lost. It was, the entire nation was moved by that tragedy. And at that time, Swami was in Vrindavan. We were here as students in Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami had just inaugurated the super speciality hospital in Whitefield. So Swami was still there. We were here. And we were wondering what could we do to ease their suffering. So as most people do, what we said to ourselves is, all of us, we have these clothes, right, which we don't use after a time. So we said, we have no use for these clothes. Let us bundle them all together. All of us in the hostel, we got together. We collected not just clothes, you know, items which we would not use, say soaps and those things like that. Collected it, and we decided we would make arrangements to ship it to Gujarat. And we did. So Swami came back a few days after that, and he himself arranged for a convoy of 75 trucks. It was sent from here to Gujarat. It had 75,000 new dhotis, 75,000 new saris, and lot of condiments, and you know, for making tents so that people could live temporarily. So all these were sent in 75 trucks. It was sent in the morning. We were all there to chant Vedam for the send off. Evening, we are sitting for darshan, and our warden, he specially made us students, some of us who had arranged for that shipment. He made us sit in the front row, and we were all sitting there because we knew what would happen, that the warden would come to Swami and he would say, Swami, we are so happy you have sent these clothes and all that, and you will be happy to know that even our students have done the same thing. So when the warden said that, Swami was very curious. He said, our students also did. So the warden said, yes Swami, our students, they also sent a few days ago. Oh, okay, what did they send? So he said, Swami, all of them, they got together, they collected their old clothes, they collected the items they didn't need, and they sent it, Swami. The moment he heard that, see, we were sitting in front, we were expecting a pat on our back, and Swami would say, oh my students, so good, so great of them. So I am sitting there, just preening myself, waiting for the praise, you know, just sitting like that. And immediately Swami's face changed. In that moment, I too sat down like this. I didn't want to be seen. I knew something had upset Swami. So the moment Swami heard this expression that we sent old clothes, discarded clothes, Swami said, I am so disappointed in all of you. He said, I'm so disappointed in all of you. He said, this morning I have sent new clothes, new dhotis, new saris, everything new to Gujarat. And you are telling me now that you have sent your old, used clothes, what you don't need, you have sent them to Gujarat. He says, you have really disappointed me. Believe me, sisters and brothers, at that moment, it was a peek into Bhagwan's heart. They call it the parting of the curtain, when you can really look into God's heart. And what I saw was a love that is beyond all understanding. See, it is very common. I think all of you, at some point of time or the other, you would have heard, when you say relief efforts, it almost always means that you all collect your, you know, what you don't need, and you send it. And we never think that who are the people who are going to receive it? Who are the people who are going to wear these clothes? Who are the people who are going to use these items that we send? We never pause to think. All of them are people like you and I. They have their own feelings. You know, just till the other day, they were people with a house. They were people with property. It was, you know, nature had dealt a very tragic hand to them. That's all it was. That is the only reason they were in this state. And in that state, could we treat them with lesser dignity than a few days before that? It was only Bhagwan, believe me, who can identify with that, at that level of a person's feeling. down at that level. For us, they were faceless, nameless people sitting 1,000 kilometers away from here. But for Swami, they were his kith and kin. Nothing short of that. They were his own. Do you know the number of times when a person would come to Swami and he would say, Swami, I'm so happy, I'm seeing you for the first time. And Swami would say, oh, you're seeing me for the first time. I have seen you centuries ago. I have seen you centuries ago. Each one, each person over here, no one is unknown to Swami. Each one of you belong. Each one of you belong to Swami. Anybody here who is coming for the first time to Prashanthi Nilayam? In this audience, is there anybody who is not seen Swami? Pehli baar aa rahe ho Prashanthi Nilayam? Koi hai? See, you have, believe me one thing, whether you knew it or not, you always belong to Swami. Whether you prayed to Him or not, He was always listening to you. He was always watching over you. You know, I have never found the reason to go tell somebody, you know, I'm going to relate to you experiences of Swami. At the end, I want you to become a Sai Bhakt. I'm going to convert you. I have never felt the need for that. Because I know heart of hearts that each single person is already related to Bhagwan. I don't need to come in between and make him related to Swami. He belongs to Swami. He or she is already a son or a daughter of Bhagwan. Already intimately related, intimately connected. Who am I? From where do I get the audacity to go and say, no, you become a Sai Bhakt? Where do I get that audacity? Because this is my experience. Such is the profound love that He has for each one of us. What we think is love, we say, let's send, you know, some relief material, something we'll do. We, you know, raise our collars and say, we did this. But to Swami, that was not love. He was disappointed in us. He said, you, as my students, you did this. You sent old clothes. You know what happened a few years later? I related this exact experience in front of Swami, in Swami's presence. This was in Trai Brindavan. So, even, you know, I was coming to this section where I was about to say that Swami was very disappointed we sent old clothes. Just as about to say the sentence, Swami murmured, old clothes. You know, 3 or 4 years later, Swami had not forgotten. That was a hurt Swami felt, you know. So, what is it, you know, these various facets of Swami's love? I've already, do you know, about 2 weeks ago, I was given a chance to speak here. And I had already covered this topic of Swami's love. And then again I was told, can you speak on Swami's love? Usually when I have to repeat a topic, I wonder, what is the new material I can speak about? This topic, give me 10 days, I can go on and on and on. There's just so much. We were swimming in the Ganga. That love, perennial flow, never stopped. I can collect at any time, you know, just I need to draw a cup from here. I can raise it and I can describe it to you. We were just swimming in that. People say you bask in Swami's love. No, we were swimming in that. It was like we were fish in water. And we took it, you know, very natural. It was very natural for us. A fish doesn't talk about, oh, what is this water around me? No. We were swimming in that. And there are so many facets. You know, there are so many facets to Swami's love. And the biggest thing about that is this, you know, when you are in His presence, when you experience His love, what is it that you are left with? Who do you think you are after that? He always left you with that feeling that you are someone bigger than you thought you were. You're always left with that. You're not this puny little being that is subject to fevers, ailments, hates, loves, prejudices, biases. You're not that. He would leave you with that. It was a cleansing. You know those people whom I spoke about who came out crying? The reason was He had cleansed them deep within. Such was His love. It would, you know, enter deep into your being, cleanse you from inside. That was the reason why people would come out crying. You know when people cry? The first time you cry is when you are born. And these people are crying. Why? Because they were reborn. The entire world looked different to them. Where they saw hate before, they see it is permeated with love. And where they see violence, where they see danger, all they can see is peace, the possibility of peace everywhere. That is the transforming effect of love. It doesn't mean you become dependent on Swami. It doesn't mean you become reliant on Swami for everything. He makes you a giant. That is what, you know, when you say Prema Swarupallara, Divyatma Swarupallara, what are you left with? What are you left with? You're left with that I am a giant. I'm not this puny little person. I remember on one occasion, there was this student, very, very dear to Swami. Really, Swami used to love him a lot. And one day, Swami had given a group of students this task. So, standing in Prashantilinam, Swami said, go to my residence. There are these carton boxes. I want you to get them and place it here. It was exactly at this time, the Grama Seva. This was the very first Grama Seva. And all the items for distribution were stored in Swami's residence. And he told some of the students, go get them. And as they were getting these items, somehow some water had spilled somewhere in that area, in the balcony area. So, Swami warned these students. He said, look, there is water over here. Tread carefully. So, as the students went past, this particular student, he forgot what Swami had said. And as he came in running towards the interview room, he stepped on the water and his legs were in the air. No, all, believe me, a collective gasp. The entire Kulwant hall saw that. And there was a collective gasp in the whole hall and the boy fell. He landed hard on his back. And I was watching Swami very carefully. What would be Swami's expression? This is one of his favorite students. Believe me, no expression, totally impassive. In fact, you know what, I thought that Swami would go over and, you know, pat the boy's back. Oh, this happened. Oh, it's okay, okay, get up. None of that. Swami said, see, good. I told you not to do that and this is what happened. Just the exact opposite of what I thought. Because for Swami, you know, we are not small people who need that compassion. We can all stand up. We can rise from whatever we fall. We can all rise up. What do we need to fear when He is there? He says that, isn't it? Why fear when I am here? He is not for pacifying, for coddling you. He is not for that. He didn't do that. In fact, that was my wrong conception. This is Swami's love. Swami's love never weakens you. His love never weakens you. You always emerge a stronger person than you were before you knew His love. I've thought back many times to that incident. When I relate to people, I always have that little tinge of fear. You know, when I relate this, what will people think about Swami? But I knew this. In Swami's heart, we are all strong giants. We can all stand up, rise from whatever fall we experience. I had seen this with my own eyes. See, when today's topic, Prema Pradayini, one who bestows love, confers love. And this is not a one-way traffic. See, love is not a one-way traffic. It's not that Swami, He poured this much love on me, now I can sit pretty and talk about it all the time. No. He evokes that love in us. Swami says that is our only property. He says, love is your only property. And He evokes that from deep inside our being. He evokes this love. Our first, you know, the first offering that we can have to Swami is only this love. Swami says, what can you give to me? There was this one student. Swami said, you know, He looked at the student very sternly. Swami put out His hand like this. And Swami said, you know, put your hand in mine. And tell me, what can you give me? So, it's a very dramatic moment. And the student said, Swami, I give you my life. And Swami laughed. He said, your life is already in my hands. What is it that you are offering to me? You know, so this is a question. What can we offer to Swami? Right, our father, our mother, Sai Baba, right? Ai and Baba, father and mother. What is it that we can offer to Swami? I remember when I joined here in the Satya Sai Central Trust, and we got our salary for that month. You see, in India, it is a tradition that with your first salary, You go and buy something for your parents. It is like gratitude that you offer that for all that they have done to you. That's what parents also expect, that, you know, in the first salary, the child will come and offer it in gratitude. So when the first salary came, I went up straight to my father and mother, and they were staying here only, right? So I told them, I am not offering it to you. I want to offer it to Swami first. They were, of course, very thrilled. Yes, you go and do it. We don't want anything. You give it to Swami. So there were two of us, my friend and I, we had joined together. So we sat in the bhajan hall of in Kulwant hall, very close to the interview room. So as Swami entered the interview room, he saw us. And we quickly got up, we offered the two envelopes. So we had withdrawn cash, put it in envelopes, and we handed it to Swami. Swami took them and went inside, and we were very happy. Ah, we did our duty. We gave our first salary to Swami. So very proudly, you know, we hardly could feel the ground beneath our feet. We were walking. Comes evening, you know, a few hours later, it's time for afternoon darshan. And we got the message, Swami again wants you in the bhajan hall. So we thought Swami is very happy with us. I don't know how many times I've been fooled like this, you know. Always thinking that Swami is going to praise me, say something nice about me. I can hardly count. So I'm sitting there in bhajan hall with my friend, and then Swami, he called, I remember, a group from Iran. So he had called them, and they were just about to enter the interview room. He saw both of us. He said, wait. So he looked at the two of us. He said, you guys go in first. So he went in, and Swami had a stern expression on his face. He said, what is it that you boys gave me this morning? So I said, Swami, it is our first salary. Then he, you know, actually Swami was playing a drama the whole time. He knew that I am, you know, very bad at reading faces, and I immediately thought Swami is very upset. He was playing a drama. So then he was holding something behind his back like that. He removed it, and he had two envelopes. So he gave my envelope containing the cash that I gave back to me, and to my friend he gave his envelope. And by the time, his face had turned into a smile. When I looked up again, there was a smile on his face. He had got the desired effect from me. I was scared, shivering. So, you know, so he gave back the envelopes. He looked at me, at both of us, and he said, you know, I don't want this money from you. You know what I want from you? All I want is your love. This is all I want. I just want your love. That's all I ask for. I can never forget that. See, those were the times when, you know, Swami was that majestic, dominating kind of personality. And there was a tear in Swami's eye. It's very emotional, choked with emotion. And Swami said, I don't want your money. All I want is your love. That's all I see. And really, I have 10 minutes more. I can relate two experiences which taught me this truth very, very strongly, that this is the relationship we should cultivate with Bhagwan. There's nothing else. Nothing else need come in between. Just our love for Him. It's a one-to-one. Nobody can come in between. There is no medium required. It's a one-to-one relationship with Bhagwan. I remember this one time. I'm sitting there in Swami's presence, right in front of Him, in the Kulwant hall, as part of the Vedam group. So we were very privileged to be sitting right in front of Him. And that day, Swami had asked some of the students from the music college to sing for Him. So they were singing these Carnatic songs, very intricate. They were very talented singers. And Swami used to enjoy Tyagaraja's Kirtana so much. I have read in one discourse somewhere, he said that just listening to Tyagaraja Kirtanas is itself a sadhana. Just merely listening, even if you don't know the words. So Swami used to enjoy these Kirtanas, and they were all singing. And looking at the amount of joy that they were all giving to Swami, I was thinking, in what way can I do? What is it that I can do? You know, I don't have any of these talents. I can't sing. And believe me, you see me speaking here in front of you. They were fantastic, very accomplished orators at that time. Fantastic orators. They just needed a moment's notice. Swami would say, come and speak. And each of them could speak like Swami Vivekananda himself. Such was the talent They were excellent dramatists, excellent singers. They looked like very ordinary students, but believe me, they were evolved souls. With God had conferred such talent upon them. And they were all there looking like ordinary students. So, I was there in this extraordinary crowd and feeling very ordinary. And I was just thinking, you know, I need one more life with Swami. And in this life, I was thinking of all the different, I need some talent which will attract Swami's attention. So I thought to myself, Arey, what can I be? So I thought, maybe I should become a very, very good singer. Then I thought, okay, something else. Maybe I should be a very accomplished Vedantic scholar. So my mind was going in different directions. And I love physics and maths a lot. So I started thinking, no, I should be a very accomplished mathematician, one of the most intelligent in this world. And so Swami will be very happy to see me when I meet him. Or an accomplished physicist who unlocks the mysteries of the world. So I was just thinking that I should be the best in some field and then Swami is going to call me. At that moment, I don't know from where, a thought got inserted in my mind. Believe me, it's an inserted thought. Suddenly, it was like a question to me. So the questioner asked me in my mind, supposing somebody decides, if God decides that He will not confer any of this talent to you, in return, as a trade-off, He gives you so much proximity to Bhagwan. None of these talents, these worldly talents are not there. So it's a trade-off. We don't give you that, but we give you proximity to Swami. You're a simpleton. You're a simple person. No knowledge, no talent. But you get Swami's proximity. Would you take that? And in my mind, I immediately chose yes. And at that moment, believe me, Swami, who was enjoying the music, his face was at this angle, the singers at this angle. Suddenly he turned to me. His face was choked with emotion. He just looked at me, just a sob, you know, just like that, and again turned back at the musicians. It was as if, you know, Swami is in tune with what I was thinking. And at that moment, He gave His blessing to that thought. What is it that we must all seek? We only need to seek Him. In this world, we sit here, we sit in His presence. And what all we seek? We seek, Swami, give me prosperity. Give my children prosperity. Give me happiness. Give me this, give me that. And there He is, just sitting there, you know, and all the time thinking, when will this devotee come and ask me, Swami, I want you? When is it? He's been waiting. And all the time we sit in His presence, you know, what about my examination? I want a first class, I want this distinction, I want my salary to increase, I want that promotion, or I want so and so person to suffer. Could happen, no? So, with all these thoughts, we go to Swami's presence, His Samadhi. But He's waiting there. He's waiting there thinking, who's going to ask for me? And there's another experience that I had. See, this was in my days as a student. So, in my first few months, Swami used to speak to me almost every day. He would call for an interview or something or the other. And at some point of time, He just broke it off. He would hardly even look at me. And these are times that really try men's souls, as they say. So I went through a lot of, you know, agony, mental agony, thinking, what did I do wrong? Why isn't Swami looking at me? He's not taking my letters. I'm praying so much. He doesn't talk to me. Nothing is going on. Nothing is working. So there I am thinking, why is it? Why is this happening? And this was a Sunday morning. I'm sitting, beautiful darshan music is playing. And Swami is coming, and that agony had reached a peak. And I was, you know, I started crying to myself, first thinking, why is it that Swami doesn't look at me? So, this was, you know, darshan time. So, I am sitting in the student's block, which is right in front of where Samadhi is located. And Swami was walking towards the gents, devotees section. So, when I looked back, here was Swami. I could see Swami's back. And I could see the faces of all the devotees. That sea of devotees. It's a Sunday. The Kulwant Hall is full, brimming. And they're all looking at Swami. And at that moment I realized, oh my God. Here is Swami alone in this entire hall. And the entire hall is looking up to Swami. He said, give me this, give me that. Give me money, give me love, give me happiness. Give me freedom from illness. Give me power. Give me fame. Give me respect in this society. The entire hall. And here I am sitting and say, Swami, give me your attention. Entire hall. And then the dam burst inside me as I realized, perhaps there is none of us in that hall who is thinking about what is the love that I can give Swami. What is it that I can give Swami? In that entire hall, the whole hall is just praying, give me. Not a person has a thought for that frail little figure which is moving between them. Swami once spoke about this. He was saying, you know, who is a true devotee? What is the nature of a true devotee? So Swami gave an example. He said, so there was once this saint, a very accomplished scholar in the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. So he is there in this town or in this village and he is expounding on the Gita. He spoke for an hour on the Gita. And he noticed that at the, you know, end of the crowd, right at the back of the crowd, there was sitting this very simple looking villager who happened to have just walked in, you know, into this satsang. He just happens to be sitting there and he's crying unashamedly, unable to stop his tears. And the saint was very impressed that in this entire crowd, there seems to be this one person, this very simple looking person who has got the message of the Gita. It has softened his heart perhaps. So at the end of the lecture, he beckons to that villager. He calls him, I saw you crying. What is it that moved you so much? What did you understand from the Gita? What from my teaching, what did you get that moved you so much? So this villager, simple villager, he says, sir, I did not understand a word of what you said. I did not understand your teaching at all. It's far above my intellectual level. But the whole time, I was just thinking that here is Krishna, he's sitting in the chariot. Here is Arjuna, he's sitting in his chariot. And Krishna is standing, the whole time he is delivering this lecture. I was thinking Krishna's legs must be paining so much. He must be in such pain. I was thinking of that and I was crying, sir. And Swami said, see, that is the hallmark of a true devotee. That his heart is with God. Your mind, intellect will follow. But first, is your heart with God? How many of us think for Swami? We may think about Swami, and when we think about Swami, we think so many desires, but how many of us think for Swami? How many of us feel that I am Swami's soldier? When he has bestowed love on me, there is this expectation that he has. How many of us think on those lines? How many of us think, what is it that we can give to Swami? That is the thought that we must carry, sisters and brothers. Prema Pradayini. It doesn't necessarily mean that I sit and I bask in his love. I stand in that shower and enjoy my time with him. It must evoke love in me. And when I can love God, and when I can love his creation, the beings that he has created, that is the love that he wants. When I can love each person over here, it is an endeavor, a lifelong endeavor. Why? Because I know that is the price that he seeks. That is the gift that he wants. That is all that he seeks from all of us, sisters and brothers. This is my take, Prema Pradayini, that when he gives that love, what he wants is not love back for himself, but our love should spread, emanate, pervade this entire world. And as Sai devotees, that is how we will honor our master. That is how we honor our experiences with the avatar. Sisters and brothers, can we all pray that this day, that when we remember Lord, when we remember the avatar, when we remember Swami, We remember him with love and we promise to him that this love that you gave us, this boundless love that you gave us, we will share it with the entire world. It belongs to everyone, just as you belong to everybody. Let this be our endeavor, let this be our prayer. Thank you for your very, very patient listening. It's a wonderful opportunity to be amongst you, especially on this holy day. In this week of Navaratri, every day we remember the Divine Mother. Every day. And there are so many aspects. And believe me, the only reason I look here and I can see almost everyone is elder to me. And the only reason I am given this opportunity is your generosity, and it is the grace of Bhagwan. And for this, I am thankful to Bhagwan and to all of you. Sai Ram.